Lucky us, lucky you. It's time for another laugh-filled Babes in Voiceland show. So pour yourself a mug of coffee or a tall, cool glass of wine and join Beth, Erica, Terry, and me, Diana, for a brief brevity break from your busy day. And now I have news from Japan. Hi.
Ooh.
Hiyo.
Japan.
Yes. Japan this spring. So get your tickets now. They are opening a poop museum exhibit.
Get the heck out of here.
What? I kid you not.
It's not art. Poop is not art.
Well, hold on. We're talking about the Japanese. They're very creative, and this is a busy time in spring because they have what they call Sakura, which is the cherry blossom season.
Right.
And they have the big cherry blossom festivals because they're so beautiful, and there's so many tourists that come to see them.
Yeah.
Well, now, not only can tourists see beautiful flowers, but they can see poop.
Come on now.
Well, they can go to San Francisco and see that right on the sidewalk.
They can go in anybody's backyard that has a dog.
Right, but it's not adorable.
Why is poop adorable?
Well, the Japanese, you know how they make everything adorable?
Come on.
They do. They do. They have a resident mascot called Inberuto, and he's a walking pile of poo carries a toilet on his shoulder like a boombox. And they made him really cute. People will want to see him. No, listen, the Japanese, you know that little poo emoji, the poop emoji with the smiley face that everybody uses?
I will never use that.
But you know it. You're aware of it.
I'm aware. My nieces love it. Yeah.
Japan had the first poop emoji in 2000, which now is like a million years ago.
Why are the Japanese so into poop?
Because they like making everything cute. They do cakes like poo. They do everything like poo. You'd be surprised.
Where can people find this on the internet? Because they're not going to believe us one little bit, you know?
Well, they're just going to have to look it up. But I'll tell you something else that's very interesting. They're not even the first poop museum.
Where is the first one?
The first poop museum was in, it's called, what is it? The Museum della Merde. Which is in Italy, which covers the history of poop and manure. So there's a whole museum dedicated to this.
Wait a minute. The history of poop is you eat and it has to come out. That is the history of poop.
You know how I collect crystals and rocks and everything?
Well, don't tell me you're going to start collecting poop.
I'm not collecting poop, but they are selling what they claim to be dinosaur poop, fossilized dinosaur poop. It's very big business
right now.
Oh, it
probably all went in the flood. I don't think it's true.
Well, anyway, be that as it may, I'm not taking a poop path here, like a cow path or anything. But the first one was in Italy, and they also have a poop museum on the Isle of Wight in England as well.
Okay, friends, look it up on the internet.
But I have to tell you one last thing.
Okay.
This exhibit in Japan is not forever. It's only until July 2019. So you have to hurry if you want to go see it.
Well, I would think because poop is biodegradable. But ew.
Ew. So just go to Japan, see the cherry blossoms, and go see some cute poop.
Hey, babes. Did you know that it takes a glass 1 million years to decompose? Which means it would never wear out and can be recycled an infinite amount of times.
Well, how do they know that?
Yeah, how do they know
that? How do they know?
They run experiments. It was printed.
Don't shoot the messenger, huh?
I don't know how they know that, but does anyone watch The Curse of Oak Island?
The Curse of Oak Island.
Did they do something on glass?
No, but listen.
Cowpath.
No, cowpaths really yet. It's not really
okay,
a cowpath.
Okay, well, gotta listen.
Because everyone out there should watch. Everyone out there should watch The Curse of Oak Island. They have been filming for like 10 years. Oak Island is an island in Nova Scotia where all this treasure is supposedly buried. Mm-hmm. And these guys have been for 10 years trying to dig it up. But they're like...
Did they find any glass?
But here's the point.
all I want to know.
Yes, where is the glass coming in on this?
But here's the point I'm trying to make. Uh-huh. If you were watching that show, they have so many things now that can determine the age of things,
true,
whether it's metal, whether it's pottery, whether they found little pieces of parchment 180 feet down, and they can carbon date all this. So that's how they know.
Okay, but I have something even, I think that's better.
Better?
Than having to dig all this stuff up?
Different about glass. Have you ever heard of Sea Glass Beach?
Oh, you told me about
it,
though.
In Fort Bragg, California.
It's a beach made of glass?
Well, back in the 40s, the 1940s, they used Sea Glass Beach was a dumping ground for a lot of bottles because there was a lot of manufacturing there. Mm-hmm. The bottles went into the water.
Uh-huh.
Through that time, with the bottles being tossed around and stuff, it creates sea glass, which is very smooth edges and really beautiful finish on the glass.
Right.
So because of the state of Sea Glass Beach, I think, and the way the bottles have disintegrated because of the ocean, it does not take a million years to disintegrate glass. Maybe if it just sat in the dirt all by itself with nobody bothering it, maybe.
Well, that's
but
true.
It depends on the environment. So I don't know. Whoever wrote this, we don't know who wrote it, so maybe they're just dumb and don't know.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying they do have the technology nowadays to know.
That's true.
Right.
Or they can identify the carbon dating and that sort of thing.
But there used to be technology that told us that the world was flat, and they were wrong about that, too.
Well, but that was way back when, and they were very stupid back then. They did not know.
Oh, no, we're still stupid now. Okay, but
yeah,
we're talking. This whole thing started out about recycling. And Erica, didn't you say that you saw something really interesting and then we remembered we did too about things that they're making that are biodegradable now?
Yes, instead of plastic, because plastic does not biodegrade.
Right.
And it's you know.
Well, I think it does in about a million years.
That's probably
no, that's glass.
I think you're right. It's not glass. It's plastic. There's a typo. We figured it out. See? Yeah, there we go.
We're just that smart.
But it's true. You know, with the plastic, they keep finding it in the ocean animals and everything, and it's very bad, and plastic is a terrible thing. They've been making pieces of, making dishes and things like that of hemp. Because hemp does biodegrade much faster than plastic does. And they say it's better for the environment because also the animals can eat it.
But if they put a liquid in a bottle made of hemp, because I actually saw the illustration, they were showing a bottle and they were showing it decomposing in a year or whatever. My thing is, whatever it is, whatever is contained inside, how do you know that the hemp bottle isn't already breaking down to a certain degree while it's still housing the liquid? And then when you drink the liquid, how do you know that
so
it doesn't
have... So you got pot in the liquid.
Hemp.
If you get high,
hey!
If you get high, then you know it's decomposed.
There you go.
But not all hemp is THC. Some is just CBD. So if you stop aching, then there,
there
you go.
There goes the alphabet. Okay.
So
count paths and alphabet.
Wine is good in double ways, then.
Yeah,
wine.
If you put your wine in a hemp bottle, well, you get...
Oh, yeah.
That
see,
would be
that
awesome.
Would be so
it'd be like smoking a doobie and sipping a goblet all at the same time.
Right.
Well, I can dig it.
A half-life, like you must drink this within so many
right.
days
everything
or weeks.
Would have to be fresher. Things
right.
couldn't sit on the
but,
shelf
but
as long.
But think about that, though. Hemp does have CBD, not THC. So
right.
the CBD, if it does start to counteract with that or interact with that... That could be kind of a cool thing.
It could be medicinal. I'm right. drinking this for medicinal purposes only.
Right.
There you go.
But, yes.
But some things you maybe don't want
like
to.
Your Coke.
Huh?
You know, your Coca-Cola, your Pepsi.
Oh, I'm glad you clarified that because Coke is a whole other story. I mean, it's bad enough that we snort oil before we start talking. But
well, they say that's why people had a lot of energy back in the old days because they put real
Pepsi
Coke
Max.
In Coke.
Well, yeah, and
that's,
they did.
That's why they did, and now
that's
they don't
they
anymore.
And I didn't drink it back then because I wasn't alive
I think
then,
you were too young, yeah. Like, you're like, just
but,
a thought.
But true. Some things you don't want to degrade. I mean, like if you make fine china, you don't want to make that out of hemp because you want to have it for a long time.
Right, but a lot of disposable
so that you can
things.
See which of your relatives don't
want it.
<pass away. laughs>
You're absolutely right.
I'm just saying.
But you know, there's a lot. But you know, there's a lot of glass in the ocean sand too. A lot of it is made up of glass. And did you ever see it magnified? Oh my gosh! No. You have to see sand magnified. You will not believe how cool it looks.
Okay, before we meet again, we shall do that. Well, you've previously heard us do some things about aging gracefully. This is something we got off the internet and just kind of some funny little things. So we thought we'd do another section of this for you. And I'm going to start off with these words of wisdom. If God wanted me to touch my toes, he would have put them on my knees. Now, I like that.
I know. That fits you perfectly.
You're so short already.
I know. That is aging gracefully. That is aging gracefully. Diana, come on.
Just see your toes on your knees. No, wait. The visual is just killing me. I'm sorry. That's so cute.
It is funny.
But I know you can touch your toes.
I can.
It's kind of a moot point.
Yes. Okay. Diana.
I want to see that.
You want to see me touch my toes?
All right.
Now you guys are really getting nasty.
Okay, nasty. You want to talk about nasty? I'll tell you nasty. See, I don't need anger management.
Why?
I need people to stop irritating me.
Yeah.
Oh. That's a good one.
Because it's not me, it's them.
Absolutely.
Every time.
Every time.
Damn it.
Exactly. Terry, take the next one. Come on.
Oh, my gosh. Well, this one really kind of really fits because when I was a kid, I had to take naps all the time. My mom was just religious about it. So this one here, I had to read it. It says, when I was a child, I thought nap time was a punishment. And I really did. But now, though, as a grown-up, it just feels like a small vacation. And get away from the kids, close your eyes, ignore the husband,
escape.
And you know what? That would work out
great
if I could actually nap, because I'm just as much an insomniac if I try to take a nap in the middle of the day as I am trying to get to sleep
at night.
I have
never been a nap person.
Yeah, I can't.
I'm not a napper either.
I despise it.
Well, I'm not, but I, you know, like, just close your eyes and make everybody go away.
You see the idea.
Right. Rob is my husband. Is a great napper.
That's what the Calgon commercials are for.
Oh,
take me away.
The bathtub with the glass of wine.
I got a glass of wine right here.
Okay, well, don't fall asleep on us.
Oh, God, no. That's my husband's job.
Why is it that men are better nappers?
And they can nap anywhere, anytime, any place. The movies.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
In the car, when I drive, Rob hangs like a puppet in the seat, hanging.
And then they blame the recliner. Well, it's this recliner. It's so comfortable.
It's the couch. Exactly.
It's the couch.
Oh, it's the couch makes me sleep. Yeah, and the car makes you sleep.
And yeah. You know.
Did you ever put the kids on the washing machine when they were little to put them to sleep, or the dryer?
Oh, they no, because mine would bubble so much I'd be afraid of it throwing my kid off of it.
No.
Oh, wait, who's
this is the first I ever heard of that.
Oh, you never
That's
heard
a new one.
Well, okay. Nowadays, though, they have the little things that vibrate and bounce and move.
And they have bouncers, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you just put batteries in and, you know, they do all that kind of stuff.
My dad used to take me for a car ride, though.
Yeah, they used to take you for a car ride, but if it was the winter or something, they would say you put the baby on the dryer or on the washing machine,
I
you turn
never
it
heard
on.
This, but what a good idea.
I'm supposed to put them to sleep.
And, yeah.
Right.
That's funny.
All this great stuff you learn from us, Beth.
Yeah, except for if it's in the basement,
the things
like back east, and it's cold, and your mom puts you down there and frickin' forgets. Yes. Yeah, okay.
That could be a problem.
Never mind.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a whole other story.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Enough about the kids. You know, I have to tell you, though, my people skills are just fine.
Uh-huh.
Huh?
It's my tolerance of idiots that needs working on.
What are you calling an idiot?
That's a funny one.
My friend Laura has a segment on Facebook called PAI, People Are Idiots, and she's always posting segments of how people are idiots.
Right.
The other day, this girl in New York City tried to jump over the where the subway comes through.
And what?
She over the running jump and just tried to jump.
Why?
I don't know. I didn't ask.
People
her.
Are idiots.
But but she missed and she hit her head and she hit her hands and I hope she's okay. But it was terrible.
Oh well, God. Did they film this or something?
Yeah, it's on.
Of course,
I shared it. Of course, it's on film. It's unbelievable.
And since I don't go on Facebook, I missed the share.
Right. And okay. And going back to the Bird Box thing, you know, yeah. Everybody who tries to put on blindfolds and do things like drive and they're surprised they have an accident. I mean, people are idiots. It's
yes,
true.
They are.
Yeah. So PAI
they
people.
They really tried driving?
Yeah. This kid actually had an accident.
Oh.
And the policeman said, well, if he didn't have his blindfold on, he would have had a better chance. You know?
Oh, my God. Well, you know, they used to have a TV show. Oh. I don't know what... If it's on something like Stupid Criminals, did you ever see
oh,
that?
Oh yeah,
like a criminal would that's got a wanted and warrants would go into the police station to make a complaint because he lost something
or his neighbor pooped his neighbor's dog pooped on his lawn and he was
look him up and he's got all these warrants and they arrest him. I mean, how stupid!
Oh my God!
Yeah,
well it's
that
true.
That was a good show. Though.
It was. I don't remember the true name of it, but it was good.
People are idiots.
People are idiots. There you go.
All right, I have a very interesting story to tell you about donuts today.
Donuts.
Donuts.
Interesting donuts.
Interesting. Actually, this is a history of donuts. You know what? Sometimes
you
learn, but this is kind of funny. Sometimes you learn the best things on TV. I didn't get this off the internet. I get off Food Facts. Okay.
Food Facts.
Yeah,
food
facts. I can't remember the guy's name. The guy that was, you remember Lenny from Penny Marshall show? What was
Captain
it?
Captain Kangaroo? Who
no,
are you
no, no, no.
About?
Lenny and Squeaky. They
Lenny were on, and Squeaky. Yeah, I remember that.
Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah, Laverne and Shirley.
Okay, now we're on the cow path. I thought we were talking about
Food Facts. Ooh, back
so
to donuts.
Lenny, I can't think of his real name. He does this show, Food Facts, and it's really very interesting.
Okay.
So,
what did he teach you, Beth?
He taught me that in 1847, Captain Hanson Gregory invented the hole in the donut. Now, not the donut.
The hole.
But the hole in the donut.
They already had donuts.
They already had donuts.
Okay.
Here's what happened. The Greeks and the Romans had their own little sugary treats. The Dutch actually brought them to New York.
Oh, I remember that.
Okay, you do?
Well, hearing about it.
Hearing about it. Because she's from New York.
Yeah, you're not that old.
So the Dutch brought them. They were called oliekoeks, which was Dutch for oily cakes. Mm-hmm. And they're like the donuts of today, but there was no holes in them. They were just...
Lumps of dough thrown in grease.
Lumps of dough.
Got it.
Well, in the 1800s, the bakers started adding egg yolks to give them like a firmer
fluffy.
Texture.
Oh, fluffy maybe?
Like a firmer texture, a little richer. Well, but they weren't baking them all the way through, so sometimes the middle was raw.
Oh, ew. Gooey.
Right. So this happened quite by accident, but in 1847, Captain Hanson Gregory...
All aboard!
...was going to set sail, and his mother made him a batch of donuts for the voyage. So he's on the ship, and all of a sudden this big storm comes out, and he doesn't want to get rid of his donut, and he sticks the donut over the spoke in the steering wheel on the ship so he could eat it while he's steering the ship. Now, you're looking at me like I'm making this up. I swear to God, I'm not.
Well, she saw it on TV, so it must be
I saw
real.
It on TV.
Well,
it must
right.
be
I'm
true.
I'm still thinking about the steering wheel on a ship.
So, he was probably the only one on the ship, and, you know, he was the one that had to eat it. So he, for real, put the donut, because they were bigger, and he stuck it on the spoke, so he didn't have
right,
to throw
just
it away.
To hold it. Yeah.
And he was steering it because it was a big storm.
Yeah.
And they have a whole plaque in Rockford, Maine, dedicated to... this captain because he invented the hole in the donut. And then the best part is now it wasn't gooey in the middle anymore because there was nothing there.
Wow.
Plus, if you got caught in a storm, you could put it on something like a spoke.
Yeah. So he is.
Okay. What I find interesting is that the guy's mother made him a batch of donuts to take to sea. And now if you get day old donuts, you think you're going to die because
right.
they're stale.
Do you know what? This
and
is
there were no preservatives back then.
No, there were not.
Every year in the U.S., 10 billion donuts are served up in the U.S. every year. 10
Ooh.
Billion.
Okay. What's your favorite donut?
Actually, I kind of like them all, but I think I like glazed, just glazed donut. That's my favorite.
What about the gourmet donuts?
No, I like just the glaze, just simple glazed.
Like maple glazed with bacon?
No, I never had
that. That's just wrong in so many ways. My son got one of those. It's just,
where do you get that? Krispy Kreme does not have
them. Kinks Box Donuts right up there.
Or Donut Mania. There are a lot of places that have them.
I never went there.
But you're a glazed donut fan. Erica, how about what's your favorite?
Oh, I have to have the kind with the custard in the middle and the chocolate on the top.
An eclair.
Well, it's like an eclair, but it's not really an eclair because it's a donut.
It's a Boston cream.
I think it's called a Bismarck or a Boston
cream. Yeah, when I was, Bismarck's when I was little. I loved them with the raspberry filling and the
sugar.
Okay,
I like the custard inside, but the custardy cream, not the like.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. What about you, Di?
I love buttermilk bars.
Oh.
Because they're dense and they're just so good. Or a really good apple fritter.
Apple fritters.
Oh,
I like.
Baby.
Okay, I think we need to go out for donuts
now. All right, we will. And thank you, Captain Hanson Gregory, for putting the hole in the donut.
Time to go. Hope you enjoyed the show. Tune in again for more laughs and fun with Babes in Voiceland. Check us out on babesinvoiceland.com.